Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. The great wisdom of Solomon said as an admonition. Proverbs 23 and 23. The Bible simply states here in such simplicity, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. There is one other verse of Scripture this morning found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27 and verse 26. Of Matthew's Gospel. The Bible simply says here, then released he, Pontius Pilate, Barabbas, unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him, or Jesus, to be crucified. But I want you to remember that this verse, for my purpose this morning, says, then released he Barabbas unto them. Would you this morning lift your voices and your hands and your hearts, and would you simply say to the Lord, reveal yourself to me. Would you now continue to pray and to seek the Lord? Lord Jesus, this morning, we feel the wonderful touch of your Spirit in this place. Reveal yourself to me. Come closer. Draw closer to each and every one of us. I worship you today because you are God. And in this holy assembly, where the Spirit of God permeates the very air that we breathe, I'm asking once again, you will anoint these lips of clay and cause me to speak as the oracle of the Lord. You will cover us, O Holy One, as we have sung here this morning. And Jesus, that you will speak to not only our hearts, but to our minds. If we could see ever so clearly. This morning I'm praying for the anointing upon every ear, every heart, and upon this vessel of clay. We pray that you will have your will and your way here this morning. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Would you clap for the Lord? And would you just let out your own reaching to the Lord this morning? There is a tremendous reaching toward the Lord in this house today. I will lift my voice, Jesus. I will clap my hands. I will call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found. I will seek unto your face, and I will find you, for thou art great, and thou art able to do anything. There is a man whose name is Dr. Henry Russell. This man has sat down, he has calculated, he has drawn this conclusion, that if the average man living in our particular culture here were to reach the age of 70 years, during that 70-year period of living in this world, in our particular culture, he would have given of his lifetime 3 continuous years to education. He would have spent 8 continuous years in amusement. 6 continuous years of his time during his 70-year lifespan, 6 years would have been spent in eating. 11 years would have been spent in working. 24 years would have been spent in sleeping. 5.5 years would have been spent in washing and dressing and manicuring his body. 6 years would have been spent in walking from one place to another. 3 years would have been spent in conversation of one kind or another. 3 years would have been spent in reading. But only 6 months would have been spent in a lifetime worshiping God. Is it any wonder then that the Bible says to buy the truth and to sell it not, to simply buy it and to never ever sell it? To buy the truth would mean to surrender yourself and to never take self back. From this book, the Bible is a Greek word meaning in the Greek, the book, pronounced in Greek, Biblos. But from the Biblos, or from the book, these statements are made. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here is paradise restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Jesus Christ is its grand subject, our good the design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given to you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its contents. It was Napoleon who said, "The Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with a power that conquers all that oppose it." Truth. What is truth? The dictionary says truth is a state of being true, or it is in accordance with fact. It was a Roman procurator, Pontius Pilate, a representation of deity, for they believed that the Roman Caesars were God himself. Pontius Pilate, a Roman intellectual, stood between the ancients and us, and only re-echoed man's desperate search for truth when he stood before a man called Jesus and said, "Tell me, what is truth?" Zeus, Athena, the pharaohs of Egypt represented man's desperate search for a higher power, something that could help them in their human frailty. Plato and Socrates and other philosophers wrote and left their understandings of truth. College and universities in this country and abroad teach the philosophies of these men, trying to find out about that incredible commodity called truth. The truth of the matter is not that God is hard to find, but rather that man is afraid of being found. We want to be saved, but not from ourselves and not from our sins. We want to be saved, but at not too great a cost. We want to be saved in our way and not his. But Jesus said in John 1 and 14, it is said of him that he was full of grace and truth. John 8 and 32 says, Jesus speaking, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," or "the truth shall set you free." John 14, 6 says, Jesus speaking, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What is truth, and how can one find it? Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Free of what? Free of every other ideology, every other doctrine, every other dogma. When Jesus stood and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he eclipsed every philosopher. He did away with every doctrine, every pharisaical idea. When he said, "I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the life." Is it not incredible here this morning that as we sang about Jesus and applied various statements of praise or exaltation to him, that his presence swept in this place and accented the words that were being sung and the hands that were being lifted and the voices that were being uttered to him. It's no small thing this morning that down from ivory staircases and out of golden palaces, the Lord himself has come down to walk among us earthlings. It is no small thing this morning that you awakened to the rising of the sun and came to this house of God to find him and to meet him and to feel him and to hear his voice and to experience the touch of the hand of the master of the universe. It is no small thing, folks, that we find ourselves sitting in the presence of the Lord. For in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy at his right hand. And there are pleasures forevermore, of which we earthlings here this morning have come to give credence and adoration and exaltation by our very presence. But more than that, could we for a moment just test this and see what happens if we will lift our voices again, if we will let go our voices again, if we will clap our hands and worship to him? I wonder what he would do. I feel that he will rise from his throne this morning and stand in recognition of our effort to touch him. For he is that kind of God. He is that kind of God. He is that kind of God. That's why it is written, "Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." So ask, seek, and knock here this morning, and just keep it up for a moment in time. What is your burden? What is your impossibility? What is your situation? What is your need? What is your joy? What is your thanksgiving? What is your heartbeat this morning? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. A little talk with Jesus makes everything right. It makes everything right. Hallelujah. Jesus talked about something called being born again. It was the newest message. It was the most startling message. It evoked the most serious questions. And it still does. For many will agree that you should be born again. They will not agree on how you are born again. There is only one way to be born again. And that is the Bible way. There is no other way to be born again, except as it is recorded here in this book, at the birthday of the church, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This became the apostles' doctrine. It became the message of Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew. It was the only thing they knew. That's why today I can say to you authoritatively as a man of God, I've walked in this for 27 years now. I am free of every other philosophy, every other doctrine, every other dogma that exists in the world today, because I know, based upon the Word of God and experiential application of the same toward my life, that I have found Him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote. His name is Jesus. There's not another coming. He's already been here. But the good news is, He's about to come again, and He's going to be looking for a people who are filled with His Spirit and who are called by His name, not a bunch of some non-essential titles, but where the name has been applied to that life, where the name has been applied. Oh, I've said this before, and I'll say it forever until I can no longer preach. No Catholic would ever convert me. No Baptist will ever convert me. No Mormon will ever convert me. No JW will ever convert me. No Presbyterian will ever convert me. No Episcopalian will ever convert me. No occultist will ever convert me. Nobody will ever convert me. Why? Because I have found Him. I have found Him. I have found Him. I have found the truth that has set my mind and my soul and my heart free. It has set my feet to dancing. It has set my tongue to singing. It has set my soul on fire with something that cannot be stopped, that will live on and on and on for eternity. That's what He meant when He said, the truth shall set you free. You're free, Pentecostal. You're the most free person walking on the face of the earth today. You are free. So why don't you act like it? Why don't you act like it? Why don't you act like it here this morning, that you are free, that you are set free? How can I be so positive here this morning? How can I say so authoritatively and so emphatically what I am just saying? I'll tell you how I can say it. Our own brother, dear brother Kilgore, the other night, asked Baptists, ex-Baptists, to stand in this congregation. How many ex-Baptists are here? Would you stand? How many ex-Catholics are here? Would you stand? How many ex-Mormons are here? Would you stand? How many ex-nothings were here? Would you stand? Why are you now Pentecostal? Because it is better than what you had. That's why you are a Pentecostal this morning. It is better than where you came from. It is better than what you had. That's why you're here acting like this man. And I'm going to join him, because I do feel like shouting today. And I do feel like dancing today. And I do feel like spinning and falling out. Because this is better, this is better, this is better, this is better, this is better than being an ex-whatever. This is better than being an ex-anything. I'm not an ex anymore, I'm a something. I'm a child of the King. I'm not against the Baptist. And I'm not against the Catholics or all the others I've named here. But those people are taught so many things different from the Word of God. There are fabulous Baptist people in this world. They live repented lives. And they are free in what they know and what they believe. Until I walk up to them. Or you walk up to them. And you say to them, in their great faith and their state of consecration to God, you can say to them, have you ever been baptized in Jesus' name? And their freedom is gone, and the struggle begins. Either they're right or we are right. And the battle begins. And then you can intensify it by saying, have you ever spoke with tongues when the Holy Ghost came? And their freedom is lost. And they begin to struggle, and they begin to fight. But you cannot get anybody saved until you first get them lost. But when they're lost, they're stumbling around, and you can reach in and pull them out and take them to the feet of this Jesus who says to them, let me take you to water in my name. Let me fill you with my spirit. It's not a think-so situation, son or daughter. It's a no-so situation. I've got an experience for you that transcends the sun and the wind and the moon and the stars. One of my favorite statements to people I work with outside of our ranks is this. If you are tired of being born once, you should try being born twice. You can start over again. You can start all over again. A little Roman Catholic lady on the streets of Troy, New York, we witnessed to her, and she began to pour out her life's problems. And how sorry she was, practically, to be alive, that life had afforded her nothing. In her aged years, she was destitute and alone with nothing. And we said to her, oh, but you can be born again, and you can start over again. She said, I can. We said, you can. Can. Mother, let us show you how to be born again the second time. And we took that weeping little lady from the streets, and she was baptized in Jesus' name. And God gave her the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is it not incredible that a life that's already wasted, a life that's already lived, that at the end of life, when they could do nothing for Him, not really give them their lives or their energy or their talent, but in His graciousness, He stoops down and He fills them with His Spirit and prepares them for the glorious great event of the catching away of the bride of Christ. How wonderful is the Savior. How incredible is His philosophy. How mysterious is this whole birth and new birth and this life. What a story. What an unbelievable story. What a marvelous story. Truth, crushed to the ground, will rise again. But error will fall wounded and writhe in pain at the feet of its worshippers and die. But truth has a way of picking its way out of the rubble and climbing to the top of the heap and lifting its light for the hungry and the thirsty to see. God is speaking to people in this congregation this morning. God has already spoken to many of us here. Lift your hands. Can you find the grace to say, Jesus, I thank you for speaking my name one more time. I thank you for coming to me one more time. I thank you, Jesus. Can you hear that? Can you hear the worship near you? Can you hear the thanksgiving near you? Can you hear words of gratitude coming from the lips of people who are seated beside you? There is a man in Dallas, Texas. He's an Indian from India. He was in a service where I was once. He was very ill in his body, diseased and sick. He came to me in his broken English. He said, "Brother Stone King, please pray for me. I fear that I might die." I remember praying for him, and God miraculously healed him and raised him up. From that time to this, periodically I hear from him. I want to read in part to you a letter that I received from an Indian man who is my friend, who lives in Dallas, Texas. This letter, among other things, had this to say to me. He said, "My younger brother was telling me that a Hindu priest wife died, and this Hindu priest started praying, asking his Hindu gods to make his wife alive again, and they could not. In desperation, the man started asking for the Muslim's God and Muhammad to save or to raise his wife and to bring her back to him, and they could not make her alive. Finally, he prayed like this, quote, 'If there's any God, creator of this whole universe anywhere, please give life to my dead wife because I love her so much,' unquote. Then Jesus Christ appeared to him and started talking to him. But he started shouting, 'No, no, I don't want the Christian's God.' Then Jesus told him, 'I am the only one and true God.' And Jesus reached down and lifted his wife by the hand to life, and she became alive. After that, he became a Christian, but he didn't know the whole truth. Jesus appeared to him again and told him to take the baptism in the name of Jesus, or in his name. Then, by divine providence of God, he met my auntie, who is Jesus' name Pentecostal. She told him about this truth, and he got baptized in Jesus' name. Now he is preaching Jesus with great signs and wonders. Even the dead are being raised to life in his ministry." I know that we believe that, but let's really believe it for just a moment by clapping with everything that is inside of us. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Barabbas. Barabbas. Oh, how I can identify with him. He shook in chains. He rubbed his chafed ankles and he stroked the palms of his hands that were perspiring. Tomorrow, Roman nails would pierce those hands. He had been caught red-handed at rebellion. He had to die. Cross ready, he knew it was. He shook his chains and he cursed his luck. The night was in agony. Sleep would not come to him. He had seen the victims of the cruelty of Rome writhe in agony for days and days upon Roman crosses. And he knew that his end was only within hours away. Suddenly, the light began to creep over the eastern horizon. And light filtered in small rays, into his prison room. It was only just a matter of hours, perhaps minutes, before they would come and his end which was indelibly impressed upon his mind, and his emotions were frayed with the anticipation of this cruelty and this coming to an end of his life. Suddenly, his door flew open and light streamed in. Come out of it, Barabbas! You are free. Jesus of Nazareth will die in your place. The manacles were struck off. They led him up to the prison door and turned him loose in the morning sunlight. He walked off blinking, afraid to laugh, afraid to cry. He was staggering. It must be somewhere near 9 o'clock. The sun wasn't yet lifted high. He never knew quite what to make of it, but then neither do we. The incomprehensible mercy of God. All we know is that Jesus died and we are free. We go on stumbling, blinking in the dazzling light of that amazing fact. It was too much for him. Sometimes it's too much for us. And it was until, stumbling through the empty streets, he could hear a tumult outside the Damascus gate at an old stone quarry. There was something going on there. By this time, it was practically high noon. He felt like he was in a daze, in a dream, some impossible dream that could suddenly end. But as he drew near and the heavens darkened, there in the darkness was a Roman soldier kneeling in agony, but with a voice that was practically in torment. He could hear this Roman saying, "Surely, surely, this was the Son of God." He could not bear to look at that central figure, the one that was hanging in the middle. He could not bear to look at him. He was bleeding badly, and he was beaten sorely. "This should have been me," was a groan that came from his soul. He moved closer. He didn't know really why. He just moved closer to the one called Jesus. You know, the one there in the center. The one that had lifted them from the grave. The one that had healed their lepers. The one that had opened their blind eyes and caused their deaf ears to hear. The one that had thrilled their hearts and souls with words that they have never been privileged to hear or to experience or to feel. Literally, it had come to pass. There were streams in the desert, and the wildernesses had broken forth. Trees had clapped, and they had sung by the sound of his voice. But his lips were moving again, and Barabbas drew near, and he heard the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A warmth came over him. He'd never been affected by emotion, not for years and years and years and years, not since he was a child held on his mother's knee. But there was something about the voice of that man who said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yes, I can identify with Barabbas. I can. What love is this? What wonderful story is this? I confess to you today, I'm still staggering. I can't believe it happened to me. I can't believe out of all the people I've known in life that I am saved. Profoundly and wonderfully saved. That my sins are gone. That
my life has been changed. Others have gone by the way of the grave. I could not persuade them. They would not listen. They would not come to Calvary's Hill with me. They would not open their ears to hear the voice of Him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But I did, and it's amazing to me. It's almost unbelievable to me that I am here with a future that is secure and a destiny that is secure. I am privileged beyond human ability to express it in words. I wish the story could be told here this morning of the young woman that Brother Kilgore asked to stand. You did not understand. I did not understand. I try, but I fall far short of understanding the grace of God and the mercy of God that reaches to the likes of us. What was it in me that he ever saw? Nobody else believed in me, not my own family. What was it in me he saw that he stopped long enough to touch me? He did not just pass me by, but he reached out and he touched my life. And I am different and I am changed. Ricky, you can't ever go back. There's nothing to go back to. No matter what anyone else does, you are marked for life, and I am marked for life. We are marked for life. Is it real? Do we have it? Somehow I feel that ought to build into a crescendo that is deafening. It should build to a crescendo that is deafening. As we stand, as we lift our voice, and as we contemplate the words of the hymn that says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. To hear the sound of his voice. Oh, to feel the touch of his hand. Just to know that my hand is in his. Reveal yourself to me, Jesus. This year that we've just entered into, and as I leave you here at the end of this revival, at least my part in your revival, could we together face a year in which he may appear? And could our voice, could our prayer day by day be, reveal yourself to me. Slip into this car, Jesus, as I drive to work this morning. Tell me some words from your lips. Show me what will be in the end time. Tell me how to be prepared to meet you better. Lead some soul to me today. We thank you for this food, Jesus. How many times will we say it? But Jesus, be a guest at this table. Be a guest at this table. Be a guest at this table. Go to me with my place of rest and stand through the night as I must sleep, but stand there and cover me beneath the shadow of your wings, that I might awaken in the morning with the refreshing, with the rest of the whole. Holy Ghost. Reveal yourself to me. A Roman procurator missed it. The Roman Empire missed it. The Jews missed it. And probably Barabbas missed it. But I didn't. And I'll never understand it. I will forever stagger until from this dream, as it were, of this earthly pilgrimage, this veil is rent, and I stand in the presence of the Holy One, whose name is Jesus. There's a weeping this morning inside of human spirits here that wants to express itself. There's a tremble in some of you. There's a chill. There's a warmth. There are hands that are moist. There are eyes that are moist. What is this? It's love. It's love from a God who cared for the likes of you and the likes of me. As you begin to sing this morning, bow your head, close your eyes, take a long look at who you are and what you need to become. Can you see it? Can you see it? He's reaching for you. Just for you. To the cross. Is there anyone that would say, Jesus, I place my hand in yours. I'm going to walk down this beautiful aisle. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. Would you come this morning to Him? Reveal yourself to me, Jesus. Anybody, everybody, where thou hast thy, draw me nearer, her blessed. Keep on coming. Keep on coming this morning. Keep on coming this morning. Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou where thou hast died. Draw me, draw me, draw me.